And we'll begin, Alice. I apologize for going too long, but we'll start. Turning to Alice, our Alice Miller readings. Quote from Alice Miller, "The artificial nature of moral laws and rules of behavior is most clearly discernible in a situation in which lies and deception are powerless, i.e., in the mother-child relationship. A sense of duty may not be fruitful soil for love, but it is undoubtedly for mutual guilt feelings, and the child will forever be bound to the mother by crippling feelings of guilt and gratitude." The Swiss author Robert Walser once said, quote, "There are mothers who choose a favorite from among their children, and it may be that they will stone this child with their kisses and threaten its very existence," unquote. Alice says if he had known on an emotional level that he was describing his own fate, his life might not have ended in a mental institution. It is unlikely that strictly intellectual attempts to seek explanations and gain understanding during adulthood can be sufficient to undo early childhood conditioning. Someone who has learned at his or her peril to obey unwritten laws and renounce feelings at a tender age will obey the written laws all the more readily, lacking any inner resistance. But since no one can live entirely without feelings, such a person will join groups that sanction or even encourage the forbidden feelings, which he or she will finally be allowed to live out within a collective framework. Every ideology offers its adherents the opportunity to discharge their pent-up affect collectively while retaining the idealized primary object, which is transferred to new leader figures or to the group in order to make up for the lack of a satisfying symbiosis with the mother. Idealization of a narcissistically cathected group guarantees group grandiosity. And my comment, that describes perfectly the tribesmen of Plato, as well as their exploitation of the children that they intentionally wound. Continuing with Alice, since every ideology provides a scapegoat outside the confines of its own splendid group, the weak and scorned child, who is part of the total self, but has been split off and never acknowledged, can now be openly scorned and assailed in this scapegoat. And my question on this is, to Alice, is this idealized primary object, is this the powerful self that has not been allowed to be split off and projected no less than that part of oneself we are conditioned to see as weak? If so, within the group ideology, and the way she's using this notion is the way I use totalitarianism, i.e. the opposite of openness, which is what Karl Popper advocated, and all folks of good heart. But among totalitarians, how do leaders happen? Are they shaped with intent, as are their minions, only fed and stroked, as is the queen bee by her drones, the shepherds in the ideology of Plato? Or is their arrival a thing organic, arising mysteriously from the morass of suppression of all spontaneous feeling, creativity, and initiative? Rather, as she suggests, the narcissistically cathected group is the idealized primary object, although I suspect they're hoping for another Hitler. Because it seems to me, that is to say, one who is not trained by their methods, but arose. Because it seems to me, the attempt to make oneself kingly by design, even philosopher statesmen kingly, can only achieve its opposite. As Popper and Kropotkin have told us, to raise by rule book destroys initiative, results in yes men and sociopaths, as is the case with our global statesmen, irregardless, as was said by Goring, of whether their state is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. It certainly doesn't result in those who are creative. How do leaders happen among totalitarians? They don't. Power robs, rapes, and pillages. They take what they want. That's the power part that Alice neglected, or didn't devote enough time to, I would say. Rule by the most mundane and most damaged is what we get by default, simply because they work in concert and we don't. Simply by our abdicating our responsibility to claim our bodies and establish the conditions that support our living free. And we have arrived at 10, so we will continue this next week. And looking forward to our in-person conversations. I love you guys. Take care. Until next week, peace. Thank you.